Welcome to another episode of Parasha Points, short thoughts from the weekly Torah portion. This week's Parasha Point comes from Pikudei, which is Hebrew for accounts, and it goes from Exodus 38:21 to Exodus 40:38. This Torah portion tells of the setting up of the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord filling it. There's a lot we can talk about in this Torah portion. Today, we're going to share some thoughts on the significance of God's glory filling the tabernacle and how it anticipates something bigger. For the past couple of Torah portions, we've been learning about the construction of the tabernacle. In this week's Torah portion, the work is finally finished. All the furnishings are arranged in accordance with God's direction. The priests are washed and anointed. And then something amazing happens. Exodus 40:34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. God's dwelling was among his people. The eternal presence of Yahweh inhabited a temporal space within a tent in the wilderness. A finite physical structure on earth somehow housed the infinite. However, as glorious as the tabernacle was, God is much too big to be contained in a tent. The tabernacle was a foretaste. It pointed forward toward a greater outpouring of God's glory to come. We see this anticipation again centuries later. King David is inspired to design a beautiful temple in which the presence of God would dwell. David's son, King Solomon, built this temple according to his father's design. When the temple is dedicated, something amazing happens again. The glory of Yahweh fills the temple, just like it filled the tabernacle. 1 Kings 8:10 through 11. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of Yahweh, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh. The temple was magnificent, but even this amazing structure could not contain the infinite Yahweh, as Solomon himself acknowledged. Yahweh's vision was for his glory to fill his entire creation. Sadly, when Israel was taken into exile in Babylon, Solomon's temple was destroyed. During the exile, the prophet Ezekiel foretold of a new temple that would be built. He said this new temple would be even more magnificent than Solomon's. The glory of Yahweh will fill it, and it will have living water flowing from the sanctuary, bringing life and healing to the whole land. Once again, a greater outpouring of God's glory is prophesied to come. However, when Israel returned from exile and rebuilt the temple, it didn't live up to the hype of Ezekiel's prophecies. According to the prophet Haggai, the second temple was as nothing compared to the splendor of Solomon's temple. There is no mention of Yahweh's glory filling the temple like it had before. However, Yahweh promised that in a little while, his glory would fill it, and this temple's latter glory will be greater than its former glory. This event is also accompanied by a promise that God would bring peace. The second temple was later expanded and adorned under King Herod, and it even surpassed the size and magnificence of Solomon's temple. The best part is that the glory of Yahweh did eventually return to dwell among us in accordance with Haggai's prophecy, though it wasn't in the way that anyone expected at the time. God made his dwelling among us in his Son, Yeshua the Messiah. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1:19-20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Since Haggai's prophecy, the only reference to the glory of Yahweh entering the second temple before it was destroyed was when Yeshua entered it to chase out the money changers. The temple was intended to be a house of prayer, but it had been turned into a den of robbers. After this event, Yeshua interpreted the temple in terms of his own body, which would be destroyed and raised up again in 3 days. Yeshua's connection to the temple becomes even clearer during his conversation with the Samaritan woman. Yeshua declared himself to be the source of the living water, making a direct allusion to the waters of life that flow from the sanctuary of the temple in Ezekiel's vision. The Holy Spirit is later portrayed as this living water, echoing a number of passages that connect the Spirit with water. Furthermore, those who believe in Yeshua will themselves become connected to the source from which the living water flows. After Yeshua's resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out on his disciples in the book of Acts, dwelling within them and empowering them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and eventually to the end of the earth. Throughout the New Testament, followers of Messiah are portrayed as the temple where God's presence dwells. The dwelling place of God began expanding from Jerusalem to fill the entire earth and continues to this day through Messiah's followers. This fits the trajectory of Scripture's teaching on the temple. God's dwelling grows from the tabernacle to Solomon's temple to Herod's temple. The expansion continues through Messiah's body, his followers. God's dwelling among Yeshua's followers through the Spirit does not diminish the value of the physical temple, but the temple was always intended to function as a symbol pointing toward this greater outpouring of God's presence through the Messiah. This greater outpouring of God's glory has come, and it continues to flow through his people until the whole earth is full of his glory, like we see in Isaiah's temple vision. And at the end of the age, God will establish a new heaven and a new earth, bringing down a new Jerusalem from heaven. There will be no physical temple in this new Jerusalem because, quote, its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. The river of life will flow from the throne of God and the Lamb, bringing life and healing to the world. Finally, at long last, the dwelling of God will be with man in fullness. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Thank you for joining us for another Parsha Point. We pray that you've been blessed by this teaching, and remember, continue to test everything. Shalom.
It is because of you, our generous supporters, who make it possible to offer these high-quality teachings completely free of charge. If you feel led to support 119 Ministries so that we can continue this effort, please visit testeverything.net and click on the Support 119 tab. Learn how you can partner with us to take the whole Word of God to the nations.